When I chose this morning's scripture lesson, I was well aware that it was not very likely to be everybody's all-time favorite Bible passage. But I think it has something important to say. And if you'll help me, I think together we can discover what that is. So this morning I'm asking you to help me preach this sermon. You don't have to say anything. I'll take care of that part. But as I use my imagination to enlarge upon the story that Keith read in this morning's lesson, I'd like to ask you to use your imaginations to pretend that you are really there. Close your eyes if that will help. But trying to experience what I'm about to say. If you're ready, here we go. We're in Jerusalem about 2,600 years ago, and we're in that section of the palace known as the Court of the Guard. Over there to your left, sitting against the south wall, is the famous prophet Jeremiah. He's been arrested for treason because he said that Babylon would conquer Jerusalem and carry her people off in captivity. He shows no desire to run away. He's not in chains. Apparently, he has the run of the courtyard. And sometimes he has visitors or speaks to people as they come and go. Today, the courtyard is crowded with people, as it has been now for months. Outside the city walls are the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And they've been there for some time now, laying siege to the city. And as the situation grows more desperate, people seem to come to the court of the guard in greater and greater numbers. Perhaps it is well protected, and maybe it's to see what Jeremiah will do. Perhaps it's just because they don't know where else to go or what else to do. Through the gate to your far right comes a man who's obviously in a hurry. He weaves his way through the crowd over to the south wall and Jeremiah. By their greeting, it's obvious that they're well acquainted with each other, maybe even relatives. We draw closer to hear what they're saying. The newcomer speaks first. He says, "Cousin Jeremiah, you know my farm near Anathoth. If you wish, I will sell it to you, for you are my kinsman and have the right of first refusal. What do you say? You can have it for only 17 shekels of silver." Everyone around us laughs and pokes his neighbor knowingly. "Buy it indeed, and for 17 shekels of silver? What does he think Jeremiah is, a fool? 17 shekels of silver, maybe that was worth that once before the Babylonians came, but it's certainly worthless now. Are not the Babylonians in Anathoth this very minute? And has not Jeremiah foretold that Judah will fall and her people will be taken captive? 17 shekels indeed. No doubt this cousin has been approached by some speculator who's offered to buy his land, and not for that 17 shekels. Probably just a shekel, or maybe even less. But the law demands that he offer the land to Jeremiah first, and before he can sell it to an outside family. When Jeremiah refuses, he will no doubt rush back to his speculator and close their deal. All the eyes are focused on Jeremiah, and what will he do? Will he laugh? Will he tell his cousin to get lost? Or will he just refuse politely? But wait a second. Jeremiah is calling to his friend Baruch, and Baruch is bringing him an old chest. Opening the chest, Jeremiah takes out some money, and he's actually buying that worthless piece of property. And he's paying full price for it, too. A murmur runs through the crowd. Then as Jeremiah begins to speak, the whole crowd becomes very still. In loud voice, Jeremiah proclaims, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be possessed in the land. In the stillness, his voice seems to echo and re-echo throughout the courtyard. A shiver goes up your spine and your eyes fill with tears. For even now, when everything looks so bleak, the prophet of God, both by his actions and by his words, is saying, listen to me. There is hope. That's the story. And I hope my reading of it this way has made it a little more real to you. Maybe it's brought home Jeremiah's message in a little more meaningful way. For as we come here today, I would burn into your hearts and into your minds and into your lives the promise of Jeremiah that there is hope. Like those ancient Jews huddled together in Jerusalem, many of us also find ourselves surrounded and besieged. Not by actual soldiers, of course, but by situations and attitudes which tempt us to look at the future through the eyes of fear and uncertainty. Maybe there's some of us here this morning whose job situations are depressing. Maybe there are those of you who have had bad news from your doctor or don't know how to cope with growing old and increased aches and pains. Maybe there are couples here this morning who no longer seem to get along the way they used to. Or parents who don't know how to relate to their children the way they would like to. Maybe there are some who have reached middle age or later and are beginning to feel that they may never reach their life's ambitions. Maybe that was her. I know there are some of us who watch the continuing developments in the world's political situation with more than a little concern. You see, most of us at one time or another find ourselves besieged and threatened by change and uncertainty. Like those people in Jeremiah's Jerusalem, we too need to hear God saying, listen to me, there is hope. To them, God spoke through the symbol of a land transfer. To us, God speaks to us through other symbols. When I watch the gathering of nations at the Olympics, God speaks to me that there is hope in this world. When I look at the young people of this church and the amazing attitudes that they have and their desire to make this world a better place, God speaks to me that there is hope for our society. And when I hold a tiny little light in my arms at baptism, and I get a lump in my throat and tears in my eyes, it's because God is saying to me, listen, there is hope. We can look at all of these ordinary events and see only sports and kids and babies. Or we can look through the eyes of faith and see in them that God is saying to us, as God said to Jeremiah centuries ago, listen to me, there is hope. Amen.